Ephesians 5, as we study, defeating the enemy of indifference. Defeating the enemy of indifference. Now, the story is told of a man and a woman who had been married for over 60 years, which is quite an accomplishment indeed. In fact, Grant and Jamie and I were talking yesterday about marriage, and I said, Suzanne, I'll celebrate 16 years of marriage this summer. And they thought, oh, that was great. And then Johnny, who was with me yesterday, I think he said 44 or 45 years. And so we all said, well, we got some work to do to get there, you know. Well, this couple had been married 60 years plus, and they had a great marriage. And they had one secret to their marriage, something they determined that they weren't going to kind of talk about or whatever. And she had a small box that she kept in the top of her closet. And she said, honey, this is something I don't want us to talk about. Don't want you to ask me about. This is just going to be kind of something between me and the Lord. And he said, oh, okay. And for 60 years, he never asked. And they had a great marriage. Well, they had celebrated 60 years of marriage, and her health had begun to fail. She was in the hospital, and the medical team got the family together and said, we really believe this is going to be her time to go. And so they began to kind of make the arrangements and go through her things and so forth. And when that happened, the husband came across that box up in the top of that closet, and he got it down and wasn't quite sure what to do with it, so he took it to the hospital, and he said, honey, can I open this box? And she said, sure, go right on ahead. So he opened the box, and inside the box were two crocheted dolls and over $25,000 in cash. And this got him really thinking, you know, what did this box mean, and how did this happen? He said, honey, you got to explain to me the contents of this box. And she said, well, before we got married, my grandmother sat me down and told me that the secret to having a good marriage was not to be filled with anger. And she challenged me that if I ever got angry with you, I should just sit down, crochet a doll, and pray and ask God to help me. Her husband began to cry, and he thought, my goodness, you know, over 60 years of marriage, and only twice have we gotten to the point where you were really that angry with me? I mean, he just was so kind of overwhelmed with the success of their marriage. He said, oh, honey, but I see the pile of cash here. Tell me about that. And she said, well, that's all the money I made selling all the dolls that I crocheted. And sometimes we think, you know, everything is just as it's supposed to be, and then maybe it's not quite what we thought. And so we've got to learn, how do we get victory over these things? And how do we protect our homes the way that God intends? Let's dive into Ephesians 5 and see what the Lord says, beginning in verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And there's a great teaching concerning the church, and the illustration given by Paul in Ephesians 5 is that of marriage. And as we come to Ephesians 5, there's great instruction provided to help us have strong homes, both in our marriages and in our parenting. Now, it doesn't take long in today's culture and society to just breeze through a news feed of any kind to quickly be reminded our world is in a mess. And our homes are in a mess. If you watch any primetime television, and I don't know that I recommend any of it, but all of it truly is about mocking what God has set up and intended. And we live in a society, in a culture, where we know two things. Number one, we don't want it God's way. Number two, we can't figure out anything else. We're so frustrated with our lives because they're not what we thought they would be. But as a culture in America today, the one thing we have determined is, well, we don't want God's way. And so we are in this crazy tailspin trying to find an alternative to God's way that might work, or at the minimum, provide some relief to the chaos and insanity that we are currently living under now. And none of this is God's intention. And sadly, for many Christians, surrounded by this moral decay, Their lives have gotten so busy that they don't have time to strengthen themselves spiritually. Very few find time every day to open God's Word and to read. Very few find time every day to bend a knee and talk to God in prayer. Many struggle just being faithful to church. And so we live in a society hell-bent on finding something other than God's way. We live in a society that loves to mock God's intention. Many families are struggling, and many Christian families are having a hard time finding the time to strengthen their lives and their relationships according to the Lord. And this bombardment of this attack on the values that God teaches in His Word, combined with our schedules and stress, have left many homes indifferent, dazed and numb toward the biblical values and responsibility that God intends. And this morning, as we look at Ephesians 5 together, I want us to look at three areas that we must guard against the enemy of indifference. Number one, we've got to guard against indifference toward biblical roles. Now, God has biblical roles intended for our home. God has a job for me. God has a job for my wife. God has a job for our children. God has a plan. God has an intent. And we've got to know those roles and embrace them. We've got to guard against the indifference to these biblical roles that God prescribes in His Word. What are they? Letter A, husbands are to provide the role of leadership. Now listen, let me give you a preface for a minute. I am the youngest old-fashioned guy I know, all right? I don't know how it all developed so fast, but by the way, I'm still very, very young, and I don't know what's up with the gray hair, but it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. I was out sowing with Lydia yesterday, and she said, "Dad, you know, I think Mom colors her hair sometimes." And I said, "You know what, sweetheart, some ladies like to do that." And I just wasn't going to touch that, you know. Just, it's all great. You know, Susanna's beautiful no matter what, you know. And so we were driving along or whatever on our way to the next visit. And then she looked over me and she said, "Now, Dad, have you ever thought about coloring your hair?" I said, "Lydia, you can walk. All right, here we go." And so I'm super young, all right. I got a long, long, long way to go. But it's amazing to me that the biblical philosophy that I was given, that I understand from the Word of God, and that I do my best to live and teach, how archaic some people want it to sound. And I just want to encourage you in our His Design class, we're never going to meet in this room for you to hear what Brother Gabe thinks. Because quite honestly, who cares what I think? When we gather in this room, we're going to go right to God's Word, and what does it say? Because if we're going to have strong marriages and strong homes and be able to defeat the enemy of whatever, we are going to have God on our side. And I just want to encourage you. I don't know who you're listening to, what books you're reading, what websites you're perusing. I just always want to encourage you. Give this book authority in your life. When you come to the truth of God's Word, may you have a spirit of, "Lord, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do." Because God has earned that, and God knows what He's talking about. And so today's lesson may not be culturally relevant, but I promise you it's biblically accurate. All right, here we go. So husbands are to provide the leadership. We got the disclosure out of the way. Verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Now, our culture, society, and media today often try to ridicule the position of dad in the home. And by the way, look at culture and society today. We have taken shot after shot after shot after shot of a biblical man in the home. I mean, we mock it as much as we can. But have you ever stopped back to look at the result of that? How are the homes doing? I don't know about you. Most that I see are really hurting. And God knows what He's doing. And God says, "Husbands, you're in leadership. You have a responsibility. You're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account." Now, let me give you some thoughts regarding this leadership of the husband. Number one, he is not to be a dictator. I'm not talking about a dictatorial type of leadership. By the way, guys, if we have to sit our family down and say, "Now, bless God, listen to me, I am the leader," Usually the leader that has to continue to remind the people that he's the leader is not leading. It's like the big business terminology. If you're leading and no one is following, you're simply taking a walk. Leaders lead. It's what they do. God is not prescribing a dictatorial leadership. God is not describing get home and bless God, take my shoes off, bring me my remote, bring me my TV dinner, and don't talk to me. No. God says, I want you to be the head as Christ was of the church. Now let's stop and think for a minute. What did Christ do for the church? Well, he died for it. He gave his life for it. Jesus Christ was a servant. And that's the kind of leadership he challenges us with this pattern to fulfill in our home. Not a dictatorial leadership, but a servant leadership, a sacrificial leadership, a support to the family that God has provided for us. Secondly, this leadership is not to be superior. It's not superior. The Bible says in Galatians 3:28, neither is there neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, yet all are one in Christ. God says, spiritually speaking, there's no difference. God did not make me the head of my home because I am superior to Susanna. Because I'm not. You know why I'm the head of my home? Because she lets me. No. You know why I'm the head of my home? And there is truth in that statement, by the way. We'll get to that in just a minute. But you know why I'm the head of my home? Because God said, that's your job. That's my role. It doesn't mean I'm superior. It doesn't mean I'm more qualified. It doesn't mean I'm smarter. It certainly doesn't mean I'm more gifted or talented, because quite frankly, I'm none of those things. But it's my job. It's my role. It's my responsibility. It is what I am supposed to do. It's not dictatorial. It's not superior. Thirdly, it's not always right. The husband is not the head of the home because he's the fount of all wisdom. It's simply a God-ordained position. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. God has an order of things. And we are in a culture and a society that's merging with millennials, and we don't want to fit in an order. We don't want to be under someone's authority. We don't want to be told what it is we're supposed to do. But God says, listen, culture and society may go where it goes. Truth never changes. And God says, healthy homes, husband's in charge. He's leading. He's serving. He's setting the course. He's setting direction. He's moving things forward. And sadly today, many men have become detached, distant, and passive, and are missing in these important areas of life. I don't have time, but here's a few statistics. Over 30 million children live in fatherless homes. 40% of those children have not seen their father in over a year. 65% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of children that exhibit behavioral disorders are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists, 75% of high school dropouts, 71% of adolescent parents all come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in prison, 70% of teen pregnancies, and 72% of Americans polled recently said that the physical abuse of their fathers is the most serious problem they're facing. And we could go on and on and on and on and on and read the data of what's wrong in our culture and society. And we have many in our class, sheriffs and public servants and so on. And they could tell a story after story of problems they're encountering consistently. And a common denominator is no dad. And sometimes it's physically no dad. There's no dad in the home. And by the way, to every single mom here, the grace of God be with you. Because your adherence to the Scriptures and your strength is going to be so desperately needed in the lives of your children. And what a benefit a strong church is in that scenario as well. But sometimes it's not physically absent father. Sometimes it's a father who lives in the same four walls of the home, but he's not there. He's not fulfilling his role to lead his family in a way that pleases and honors the Lord. And you say, Brother Rule, I have no idea how to spiritually lead my home. You've come to the right place. We're going to stay in this room every Sunday at 10 o'clock and study the scriptures and learn how do we biblically lead our families. And I encourage you to keep coming. But that's your role. Then secondly, we see that the wives are to provide the role of completion. The Bible says in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And every married man in the room is thankful for that verse. God looked at us and said, he needs help. And the Bible says in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto Adam. And Adam saw her and was like, man, praise God. A godly wife is a completer. She's the helpmeet. She was made for him that together they could accomplish God's plan. She's a completer, not a competitor. America today is dying for husbands who will lead and wives who will fulfill their biblical role of completer in supporting their husbands in God's work. We may not like God's plan, but I just want to encourage you this morning, not as a salesman, but as a satisfied customer. I believe if there is any disdain in you for God's plan, it is only because you don't understand it. Because culture has so tainted it today to make it sound like this isn't the way it is anymore, and all of this liberty and all of this freedom and all of this progression over here, it's just so much better. Really? Really? I mean, they're all now married for decades and happy and kids turning out and everything's going great. That's not what I see. I see a lot of people that are really struggling and really hurting and really, quite frankly, anger and bitter. Because they are dead set on finding anything other than God's way. Might we in this room just say, you know what, God, you know more than I do. You created me. You created marriage. You created our home. You've got a plan. I'm going to follow it. And I'm going to do my best to fulfill my role. Guard against the indifference towards a biblical role. Secondly, guard against the indifference towards a biblical responsibility. Now let's break this down a little bit. What is God wanting us to do? Well, let's see letter A, the responsibilities of leadership. What does a man who's leading his home have to do? What are the requirements? The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with him according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. There is a work that we are to do for our family, and we must know and do the responsibilities that God has for us. Let me give you a few very quickly. Number one, communicate with your wife. Husbands, lead. And in order to lead, you've got to speak. In lots of marriage counseling, one of the great frustrations is he won't communicate. He doesn't talk. We're not on the same page. The Bible says in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And we've got to communicate. We've got to articulate. We've got to know where we're going. And sometimes as leaders, we don't communicate where we're going because the truth of the matter is we don't know where we're going. And so what we've got to do is we've got to get up early in the morning and get with God and say, God, where am I supposed to go? And then when we figure that out, we go to our family and say, this is where we're supposed to go. This is what God's been telling me. That's the picture. That's what God wants for us. In order to do that, we've got to be willing to communicate. It's like the elderly couple that were sitting home and they're by the fireplace and the phone rang and the wife answered the phone and she was talking with her friends and chatted for a moment or two, and then she hung up the phone and she said to her husband, she says, you know what they're doing over there? He said, no, what are they doing? And it was one of their dear friends, one of their couple friends. And she said, you know, they're over there at the house and they're sitting by the fire and they're sipping coffee and they're talking. Why don't we do that? He said, okay, honey, why don't you get some coffee? So she went in the kitchen. She got the pot of coffee and got the serving platter out and got the cups and got everything fixed up just right, you know. Kind of came back in the living room and gave him his cup. And she had her cup. And now they're sitting there in their favorite chairs from their favorite mugs, drinking their favorite coffee by the fire. Silent. I mean, just kind of awkward. And now tension building, anger, frustration. And finally, the husband looked over at the wife and said, all right, honey, forget it. Call them back and find out what they're talking about. And sometimes we need help to know what to talk about. And sometimes it's taking truth from the Word of God and saying, how does this apply to my life? How does this apply to our home? What adjustments do we need to make? And communicating with our wife and with our family. What else does this responsibility of leadership look like? Number two, love your wife. Verse 25, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Fellas, can I challenge all of us this morning? Our love is better displayed than defined. Yes, it's important that we look at our bride and say, sweetheart, I love you. But God in Romans 5:8 said, but God commendeth his love, which means he proved it, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God said, Jonathan, Eva, I love you. But then God proved that love by the gift of his only begotten son. Guys, can I ask you a question? What proves your love over the last 6 days? What can you point at and say, that's proof of my love? I've communicated my love. My heart is full of love for her. But Brother Rule, as I look at the last week of my life, this proves it. This gesture, this manifestation, this thoughtful act, this act of service, whatever it is, this date that I planned, this proves my love. We're to communicate. We are to love. Thirdly, we're to protect. Protect your wife. The Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. We are to provide protection. Our wife should know that we value her, that she is special to us, that it is our joy to provide and protect. Men, we cannot become indifferent. We cannot become the family-designated couch potato. We've got to be active in the home. And I know most of the men in his design class, hardworking guys, and by the way, to God be the glory for that. I think Christian men ought to be the hardest-working men I know. I think every man in here ought to have a platform of influence in the workplace because as a Christian, you work hard. You work as unto the Lord. And your work and the product of it gives you a platform of influence for Christ. And I think that's great. But guys, can we all be reminded of something? When we pull in the driveway at the end of the day, our work's not over. In many ways, the most important work is just beginning. Our home life. Our marriages. Our children. And we've got to roll up our sleeves and dig deep and find time and energy to invest in our family. And you say, Brother Rule, I just don't have it. Then can I challenge you in love? Adjust your life. Because if you don't have time for the most important things at the end of your life, what will you have? Well, I will have accomplished all of this at the expense of what? I've never heard a man on his deathbed extolling his accomplishments in business. But there are many stories of men with great regrets at the end of their life. I wish I would have. Because some of the most important areas of their life were neglected. Let's lead and be actively involved in the home. But then let her be. What are the responsibilities of the completer? Quickly. Number one, the Bible word, submit. What does it mean? To lay down your arms and quit fighting. You say, but Brother Rule, he's wrong. Brother Rule, my mom told me about him. Brother Rule, you know, whatever. And I just want to encourage you, wives, you're not going to accomplish a lot through a shouting boxing match. It's going to have to be a cohesion and a unity. And every wife is going to have to come to grips with the fact that God has asked your husband to lead your home. What does that mean? It means at the end of the day, you've got to recognize your husband has 51% of the authority and responsibility in your household. It means very simply, when your family stands before God someday, it will not be you, it will be him with the responsibility to give an account for your home. And every wife in this room who understands God's model needs to say, Lord, help me in my role to complete what you've created here. Help me not to be the one in the way or the one pulling back, but rather the one supporting. And guys, it's on us to give her something to support. I know many wives in our ministry that would give anything for a husband who would spiritually lead. She would gladly follow and support and energetically get behind something of this nature. There's ladies in our class as I speak that are praying for their husband's salvation. And can I just give a word of encouragement to, in a unity spirit, support, get behind. Number two, to encourage him. The Bible says that the wives are to submit to their own husbands as unto the Lord. The source of encouragement. And wives, I want to encourage you, be the source of encouragement to your husband. Should your husband prove his love? Absolutely. But may your support be evidenced through your encouragement as well. Can I ask you some honest, very simple questions? When's the last time you've communicated to your husband something positively? When's the last time you've thanked him for something? When's the last time you've built him up through words of encouragement? Every wise woman buildeth her house. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs. Encouraging. Encouraging. Thirdly, adorn your heart. The Bible speaks in Peter of wives and in their subjection to their husbands, that if their husbands are not obeying the word, they're going to be won by the conversation of their wives. And it goes on to talk about, yes, there's the plaiting of the hair, is there this and the that. Basically, the Bible is saying, ladies, you can spend all the time in the world on your hair, your makeup, your dress, and all of that, and to God be the glory for it. But if no attention is being spent on their heart, we're missing something. Because there's a generation that cometh after. And by the way, do we not see this in American culture today? Is there not a generation that follows our generation that is obsessed with the external and completely oblivious to the internal? Why is that? Do not I bear some responsibility for that? I have four children. If the four children in my home leave my home obsessed with how they look and what people think and completely oblivious to what God thinks of their internal, what does that say of me? I would submit to you this morning, it makes me an utter failure. Because it is my job to help them to see there is something so much greater on the inside. And thank God for beautiful lives and beautiful children. But how is the heart? Blessed are the pure in heart. Matthew 5:8, for they shall see God. Are we cultivating that? And moms, can I tell you something? Nobody does it better than you. The adorning of the heart, the setting of the spirit, the creating of the atmosphere. When mom is right with God and the spirit of the home is right, it's incredible the way the family benefits. Notice this as we close. Thirdly, guarding against the indifference toward the biblical rewards. In 1 Peter 3:7, in our notes, we read that the husband shall dwell according to knowledge with their wives, and as being heirs to the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And we've got to guard against the indifference toward the biblical rewards that God has intends. What are they? Letter A, the reward of an answered prayer. I think all of us in this room could say, Brother Rule, I've got a prayer request, and I'm praying that God will answer. And we're reminded this morning that our sin will always hinder God's answer. And so may we embrace God's role. May we embrace God's responsibility. May we be under God's blessing. May there be a loving spirit. May there be a forgiving spirit in our marriages and our homes. And then we see letter B, the reward of the grace of eternal life. Understanding the fact that if both of us as husband and wife, father and mother, know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we're going to spend an eternity with God and with one another. And may we cherish the reward of that grace of eternal life, and may we recognize that while we have such a short time on this earth drawing breath, may we use it to all of our might to bring God honor and glory. God wants your life, your marriage, and your home to bring Him honor and glory and to be a testimony for Him. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:3, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And I hope and pray that today we will exhibit some wisdom and say, Lord, help me to build my home your way. And may every one of us here this morning, whether we've been here for a long time or today's our first time, may we recognize, you know what? God has a role for me. I may not even understand it all. I may not even agree with it all, but I'm going to trust God and I'm going to embrace that role. And then God has some responsibilities He wants me to fulfill. And again, I may not even know what they all are, but I want to get on a mission to figure that out. What does God expect of me? And with His help, how do I fulfill that each and every day? We've got to fight against the enemy of indifference. There's a culture that doesn't know God that is not ashamed to tell us we don't need God. Can I just challenge us in this room as fellow believers in Christ? May we not be ashamed to say, I need God. I need God in my marriage. I need God in my family. I need God in my personal life. And if I'm going to try to live outside of God's role and responsibility, I'm going to mess this whole thing up. So God, I'm not too prideful to admit, I need you. Help me to know my role. And help me to do it. And may my relationships that I value most be blessed as a result. May God help us to focus on that this week and give it some time and attention. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time around your word. And Lord, I pray that His design would be a place where strong homes are built. And may they be built on the foundation that it's got to be God's way. And Lord, may we be passionate about that this week. Knowing your way, doing your way. Lord, bless our class. Bless all those in attendance today. Strengthen their lives, relationships, and home. Bless now the service to follow, the special emphasis on baptism today, and this class this week, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.